You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 3. I just got a message here burning in me, something I've ministered before years ago, but I'd like to minister it again this morning. I preach on what is just hot in me, what's burning in me, and I study all the time, pray all the time, and just stay ready. And I believe as a minister I'm called, so it's not up to my great intellect to woo you and wow you. In fact, I might say something to help you, might help you for a day or two, but if you hear something God says, it'll change your life for a lifetime, amen? So we all want to hear God. We're all in this together. And I hope you are praying for me, you know, because if God didn't show up, then just, you know, dead words coming out of my mouth to dead heads. And but if we're all right where we should be, the anointing will be there and the flow will be there. And then we'll say like they did in the Bible, our hearts were pricked and our hearts burned within us. I want the presence of God, amen? I want the anointing on something. To do that, I preach on things that are burning in me, things that I'm passionate about or things that I'm dealing with. I figure if I need it, you need it. Pure and simple. I think C.S. Lewis said this. He said he went to his little mailbox or post office box or whatever on the side of his house there in England where he lived. But he said, I noticed when I opened that box up, there's letters and there's envelopes and all these letters. And he says, and when I open up those envelopes, there's letters in there and bills in there and so on and so forth. And he said, I see the postman going down to the next house and delivering the same thing in those mailboxes. He says, I don't open my neighbor's mail. He said, that's illegal for one thing. He said, but I don't think there's probably much difference those envelopes they're getting, the ones I'm getting. And he said, I can't see what's in your head, but I know what's in my head. It's probably about the same thing. Amen. If you need something, probably somebody else needs it. We all need to be loved. We all need to be heard. We all need to be counted, needed. We need to be needed. People need to know you care, need compassion. And that's pretty much standard. I think all of us could say we'd need that. We need to know that, you know, we're noticed. Come on. You know, and that we count for something. Come on. And the good news is that God sees that in all of us, and he brings that out in all of us. In fact, God loves us all the same. He has no favorites in that respect. He favors all those that come to him, anyone that comes to him. And you are important if you've gotten to God. You count if you've gotten to God. You are unique. You're the only you that ever was made, and there was another one made. Amen. Philippians 3. In life, I notice that sometimes my past comes back up. How about you? A couple of you do. That's good. The rest of it, we'll pray for good memories. But anyway, in my life, things come up. Sometimes things I did wrong. Sometimes sins I've committed, I've repented for 1,000 times. And really, the first time I repented and confessed them, God forgave me. But it seemed like they come back up again. I want to repent again for them, you know. I love that where Jesus talks about forgiving your neighbor. Someone that sins against you, he said 70 times, you know, Peter said, he said, no, 70 times 7. And I think that really is just to get the point where we got that out of us, that junk out of us. We forgave him if we really meant it the first time we said it. Sometimes you go over and over just to get the junk out of you. Are you with me? You can think of somebody and then bitterness rises up. That means you need to deal with that. Someone can say a name of a person and what they did is just so emblazed in your brain that, you know, you've said you forgive them, and you've done it, and thank God forgiveness is not a feeling. I believe it took care of when you made the commitment to say it. But then you need to get that memory out of your head, you know, and that bitterness and that junk out of your head. What gets us is living in the past. That's what gets us. See, God's got one gear. It's called forward. It's going forward. And God, from this day forward, there's only one way you can go. You can't go backwards. You can only go forwards. Sometimes we live our lives trying to go backwards. We got a huge window, it's called a windshield, and we got a little bitty thing called a rearview mirror. Most of us have a huge rearview mirror and a little bitty thing called a windshield. And we're living a life backwards, crawfishing, as we say in East Texas. Or like that poem, the lightning bug lives most confused. He hasn't any mind. He goes through his existence with his tail light on behind. You got to shine the light on forward motion, not backward motion. And Paul even deals with that. He talks about that. Until you deal with it, until you get over it, it's going to hold you back. It's always going to be a weight that pulls at you, as Hebrews 12 says. Let us lay aside every weight and that sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Brother Osteen used to always say, you can't unscramble eggs. And you can't. You can't undo what's done. All you can do is repent and go forward. But the future's bright. Hallelujah. Amen. We got some great promises waiting on us if we just get on the road and stay on the road and quit stopping, quit turning around, quit doing U-turns in life, and let's go forward with our head in that direction instead of backing into our future, looking into our past. Amen. Paul says this, Philippians 3rd chapter, Philippians 3. Everybody found it? Philippians 3 verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto the things which are before. There's too much out there for me to attain, too many things out there I need to be walking in, too many promises I hadn't experienced yet for me to be spending my time about what I missed and what I did wrong and where I sinned. Now, if you sin, you need to repent of your sin. Are you with me? But then you need to go forward. You need to go, everybody say forward. I love that. I think it was, yeah, General Patton said this. He called up one of his generals and he said, how goes the battle? You know, he'd send him out, out to go a certain way and take a certain place, a certain hill, a certain territory. And the guy, you know, said back, he said, well, you know, General Patton, he says, we're holding ground. And then he just blasted him. He said, we don't hold ground. We go forward. Now you get up and go forward. I thought that was pretty good. Sometimes we live our life just holding ground, you know, just trying to survive instead of thriving. If we could just get by, you know, we've got to get off just get by street. We got to get off that street. We got to move to another locale. We got to get to where we're going forward. We're moving forward. We're actually helping some people and doing some good, praise God. And you got to get over some things, and the first thing you got to get over is yourself. Hallelujah, somebody, come on. So he says this, he says, and think about it now, put yourself in perspective. It's practical. This is where the rubber meets the road. Make it personal. All of us have a past. I have a past. Listen, I got kicked out of high school. You know, I got on drugs and jails and got on jails. I was addicted to jails. I got on drugs and was, you know, spent time in jails. And my dad himself put me in jail one time. He was deputy sheriff. And I didn't finish high school. And then I got saved. I got saved, you know, after all that. And God called me to teach. Well, you know, in my thinking, when God called me to teach, my conversation with God was, God, I don't have an education. I don't have any money. How in the world am I going to teach? What do you mean teach? And, you know, I had a vision. In fact, it was at Lakewood Church years ago, 1975. Goodness. I always tell everybody I was 10 years old. But anyway, I'd gotten saved, and I was in Lakewood Church, and God called me to teach. And I could have hung on to my past, and I could have hung on to, you know, the way I was raised and the things that I'd done and all the things I never accomplished, you know, and all my inabilities and all my weaknesses. But God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. God's got ability. He can make anything out of you. He can get you to do anything he wants you to do. Moses stuttered. Think about it. And he tried to use that as an excuse for not doing what God called him to do. He told him, he said, God, I stutter. And God said, I made your mouth. I already know that. And the idea that you have a desire or a passion or a drive that God has put on your heart to do something, the idea that you're not able to do that, well, if God called you to it, you can do it. If he impressed you to do it, if he asked you to do it, you can do it because he's going to help you do it. He's going to strengthen you. It's not about your weaknesses and even your abilities. It's about his ability. It's not about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's about you and him together. And you and him together, you're a force to be reckoned with. Amen? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And as we sang that song, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. So I finally, personally, I gave in. I accepted the call. I said, yes, I will. I'll do what you say. I'll go all over the world. I'll preach the gospel. I don't know how. I remember the conversation. You know, I don't know how. I don't have the money. I don't have education. But since I made that commitment back in 1975, God has taken me all over the world, even to Wills Point, Texas. Hallelujah. Now, if you've gone to Wills Point, Texas, you've pretty well done it all, you know. But it's about going forward, not going backwards. All of us have past. All of us have maybe a bad experience. I think of Joseph. You know, Joseph, his brothers threw him down a well, sold him to the Midianites, went home and told his daddy died. We call that dysfunctional family today. We'd say he had a bad family. But you know what? He just kept going. He got thrown into prison on false accusation, but he kept his faith. And finally, he fulfilled his destiny and his calling because he just didn't quit. And if you'll just not quit, if you'll just keep going one direction forward, if you'll just keep getting back up. You know, I mentioned that scripture. It's in Proverbs. It says, a righteous man falls seven times and he rises again. Well, we all fall, but we get back up. If you cut us, we bleed. I mean, we can be hurt. But you know what? We can heal too. And God's wanting us to heal, praise God. God's wanting us not to unscramble the eggs. He's wanting us to throw the eggs in the trash and not try to undo the pan. You can't. See, in life, I think I heard this example. You're given a big eraser in life, if you can imagine this. Now, you can write the past on it and erase your future. Or you can write the future on it and erase your past. I like that one a little better. Don't let your past erase your future. Let your future erase your past. And, of course, let God take care of all of it. That's the way you do it. So he says this. He said, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Let us, therefore, as many of us want to, are perfect or mature, is what he's saying here, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. In other words, that's the kind of mindset we ought to have. A can-do attitude. We are well able to overcome. Quit looking at the giants. Quit looking at the walled cities. Quit looking at the obstacles. Quit looking at everybody that's ever tried and never made it. And start getting into the Word and looking at God and realize that if God be for us, their defense has departed from them. They're bread for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Get a can-do attitude. You know, the children of the wilderness, that's what separated. You had some can-do people like Joshua and Caleb, and then you had some I can'ts. Yeah, you had bees, and you had wannabes. I'd rather be a bee, amen, than a wannabe. They wanted to be, but they just couldn't get through it. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight, and then they saw themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of their giants. They talked about the greatness of the giants and the walled cities and the problems. Joshua and Caleb talked about the greatness of God. See, two ways you can look at that thing, amen? It may not look good right now, but I tell you, my future's so bright, I got to wear shades. I've looked into the Word. I've seen the promises and what God can do and God wants to do, and that's what I'm going for. I'm going to take that city of Jericho. I'm going to take Ai. I'm going to take these cities one by one. I am not going to look back. I may have tried before, but I'm going for it. You know what we talk about here in our church? We talk about Hallelujah Night. We talk about the food ministry. We talk about our missions outreach. We talk about how God has blessed us over the years. We have 40-something acres that's paid for. Every building you see is paid for. We pay cash on everything we do. We don't talk about the tough times that we had. We had some tough times. We've had some struggling times. I worked for 3 years in Dallas, had to get a job and go to work to keep the church going. When we first started the church, I was full-time, but then we went through some tough times. I pick high cotton, low cotton, and no cotton. Are you with me? But you know what? We just kept picking. We just kept picking. We didn't quit. And there's people here been with us 33 years and can verify and tell the tale. We've gone through some rough times. We've tried things that didn't work. But you know what we talk about? We talk about those things that did work. We talk about the victories, hallelujah. We talk about what God has done. And you know what? The rest of it is just learning experience. And thank God we learned. You know, learning from experience is really not the best teacher. I don't think that's the greatest teacher. But there is something worse. That's not learning from experience. Thank God we learned from it. Amen. Learn things not to do. We did things differently. We tried things that didn't work. Sometimes we heard God. Sometimes we didn't hear God. In church, you don't always hear God about what you should do. Sometimes you see a good thing, you go for it. Sometimes God blesses it. Sometimes it's not God. Oh, did that sound unspiritual to you? I didn't mean to sound that unspiritual. Sometimes I hear God and there's no question. Are you with me? Sometimes you know you've heard God. Sometimes you're just doing it because it looks like the right thing to do and it seems like the right thing to do and you go for it. And sometimes that works out and sometimes it doesn't. But what you do, if it doesn't work out, you know what you do? You just keep going. Well, I tried that. Well, just get back up. You know, don't let that horse take you back to the barn. You get on a horse, it's going to want to go back to the barn. You drive it, you make that horse go away from the barn. The food's there, the shelter's there. You have to take the reins of that horse. You can't let the horse decide where it wants to go. You decide. Don't get decidophobia. Well, you just can't decide anything, you know. No. You go forward. You take this thing in the right direction. Amen. I love Mark Twain's example, and I know I've shared it many a time. But the problem with failure is we internalize it, we personalize it. You know, it's kind of like it's not an event. All of a sudden, it's us. In other words, we didn't fail. We're failures. See, that's the lie. You're not a failure because you failed. Goodness gracious. We've all failed, but we're winners in Christ. Amen? But the problem sometimes with failures, let me say it this way. He said it's like a cat that sits on a hot stove. If a cat ever sits on a hot stove, he'll never sit on a hot stove again. But the problem is he'll never sit on a cold one either. And so what we do many times, we'll have a bad experience, and then we'll internalize that thing, maybe a bad marriage. And then so we never get married again, or a bad relationship, so we never open up to anybody again. Or we had a bad experience in church, so we don't ever go to church again. Well, I'm here to tell you, all churches aren't the same. Are you with me? All men are not the same, all women are not the same, and all stoves are not hot. Are you out there? So you just have to learn from experience and go forward. But don't get burnt. Don't get burnt by it. Don't internalize it. You need to forget the things that are behind and go forward. Just check that stove out a little better next time before you sit down on it. Amen? You got to let things go. You got to let go. Everybody say, let go of the past. You got to let go of the hurt. You got to let go of the pain. You got to let go. Everyone has had hurtful situations. All of us could stand up here and talk about how we've been hurt and how maybe it was our family. Maybe it was our parents. I hope you had good parents, but not everybody did. You know, maybe it was a relationship. I don't know. Maybe it may have been a bad deal in a church. It could have been that. I mean, life's full of that. I mean, because there's human beings out here and there's evil in the world and not everybody's nice. And if you think everybody's going to treat you nice, that's like being a vegetarian and thinking the bull's not going to chase you when you go out in the pasture. There are people that are just mean. It's not your fault. Are you out there? And you just have to realize that. That's life. And so what do? Well, we run to God's what we do. We run to God. We get our strength from God, and we get back up. Hallelujah. We shake the dust off, and we get back on that horse, and we ride it again. Amen? And we go forward. Praise God. You can do it. You can do it. Hallelujah. Don't just hold on to it. You remember that story of that woman that got bit by a dog, had rabies, and you know, they put her in the hospital, and the doctor came by, and he says, "Ma'am, there's just not a thing in the world I can do for you. You're just not going to make it. You've got so much of this in your system. You waited too long to get here, and you're going to die. I'm sorry. There's not a thing in the world." She said, "Okay, give me some paper. I need some paper, and I need a pen, and I need to write some things out." So he goes and gets paper and a pen, and she starts writing things out. About an hour later, he comes through, and she is writing away. Boy, she's stacking up the paper, just writing away. About 2 hours later, he comes by, and he finally just walks in. He says, "Ma'am, I've never seen anything like that in my life." He said, "That's the longest will I've ever seen in my life." And she said, "Oh, this is not a will. This is all the people I want to bite before I die." Well, you know, she wasn't letting it go. And you got to let it go, amen? Hallelujah. Hey, turn to 1 Samuel, 30th chapter. Set it up for you. 1 Samuel 30 is where David was running from Saul, and he'd gone into the land of the Philistines. And he'd taken several men with him, interesting enough. And actually, it's interesting because if you look at the men that he did take with him, they were men that were distressed. They were men that were in debt. They were men that had been hurt. And he took those men in, and they became his army while he was in exile away from Saul. Well, they went into the land of Philistines, of course, to hide from Saul. And they were in this little town called Ziklag. And they had all their people here. And so David and all the men went into the land of the Philistines, left their wives there in that town. And they were conversing with the king there. The king was going into battle, and he was going to go with them. And long story short, they wouldn't let David go. So David went back to his town with his men. But when they got back to the town, some people had come through there and had taken all their women and taken all their children and taken all their stuff. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them all away and went on their way. Third verse. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire with his wives, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. I mean, that's pretty bad. They went through all the sorrow and the pain that they must have experienced. That I can't imagine what they went through. All their people were gone. The love of their lives, you know, and their children and all their goods, everything was gone. And they wept and they wept. And we get sucker punched and we weep too. We get hurt. You cut us, we bleed. I understand that. We suffer loss. There's loss in this life. And we cry, and that's okay. That's all right. But here's the problem. At some point, you got to get up. We grieve, but, you know, at some point, you got to heal. You'll always have the memory, I understand that. But see, there's only one way we can go here, and that's forward. We got to finally get up and go forward. We got to finally stop crying and go forward. We got to stop talking about the hurt, the pain, and start doing things that help us heal and go forward and help others. There's only one way we can do this thing scripturally and biblically, and that is victory, 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 as Winston Churchill said, victory. That is our aim. Are you with me? we win this. We can win it if we'll get back up. You know, the Bible says we don't sorrow as others that have no hope. There's two ways of sorrowing and grieving for loved ones that go on. One is that you sorrow with no hope. We as Christians sorrow with hope. That means we finally heal up. We know they're in heaven. Amen. We know we're going to see them again. That gives us hope. We hurt when they die. We wish they were here. We want to see them again. But thank God we're going to see them again. And you know what? We get over that. We don't pick up a spirit of grief. We actually heal from the grief. We get over the grief. So we don't sorrow as others that have no hope. We have hope. So we can get over this. So here they were. They cried and wept till they had no power to weep. Fifth verse. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. I mean, bad day getting worse. Now, not only are they all in pain and hurting, and David himself is hurting, but they're wanting to blame somebody, because that's what we do, isn't it? The hurter hurts. We're trying to hurt people because we're hurt. We want to lash out at everybody else. We want somebody to blame. We want somebody to shoot. Well, you know, life's not like a movie. You can't just kill everybody. I mean, it's awful nice, you know, when you come in there and you wipe out the whole town because the town's bad. And it's like true story. A Spanish guy, forgot the guy's name. The priest came in. He was on his deathbed, and he asked him, he said, "Have you forgiven your enemies?" He said, "I don't have any. I killed them all." But in life, it doesn't work that way. Are you with me? You got to forgive and you got to go on. You can't be blaming everybody for everything that happens in your life. Maybe it was their fault to some degree, but you know what? You can heal. Your parents did the best they could do. Do you know that? Now it's up to you. You can't live your life blaming your parents. You can't do that. And I hope you had good ones. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, I had great parents, but you can't blame your boss. You cannot blame circumstances for what you're doing wrong. If you've done something wrong, just repent of it and go forward. You can't say, "I had a bad day." It's amazing to me how that when you sin, you always blame something for the sin. You never say, "I'm sorry for what I did." You go, "I'm sorry for what I was having a bad day." You want to blame it on the bad day. Isn't that right? But when someone says, "Thank you for something good you've done," you don't say, "Oh, really, it wasn't me. I just felt good today." You take full credit for what you do good, but we always make an excuse for what we do bad. You ever notice that? Or my boss, he made me so mad I did. You know, or hello. Moving quickly right along here. So they wanted to stone David. I mean, not only was he having a bad day, but they were wanting to kill him. And David was greatly distressed. Sixth verse, for people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man of his sons for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Wow. What do you do when everything goes wrong? Well, you get back up. How do you get back up? you encourage yourself in the Lord. Everybody say encourage. See, that just means literally to put courage in you. To be encouraged is to put courage in you. That's what the word came from. That's where it came from. Because what happens is when you're discouraged, you're afraid to do anything. You're afraid to attempt it again. You're afraid to get back up. You're dismayed. You're discouraged. And so you're paralyzed. It paralyzes you. And you don't move. Are you with me? You don't attempt anything because of the fears and doubts. Shakespeare said, our doubts are traitors that make us lose what we oft might win because we fear to attempt. We're afraid to do anything. We won't go back in another relationship. We won't do this. See, we need to be encouraged. We need to get courage again to stand up and fight again. And the only way you're going to do that is get it from the Lord, to encourage yourself in the Lord. I love that. He didn't have anything in the natural to encourage himself in, but he had God to encourage himself in. And he strengthened himself, actually. Everybody say strengthen. Because that's what depression will do. It'll rob you of your strength. It'll rob you of your faith and your courage. It'll keep you from moving forward. And that's what Paul's saying. Forget those things that are behind and let's move forward. See, at some point you've got to close that door. You know, Revelation 3 verse 7 talks about the church of Philadelphia. And God says, I am the one that shuts a door and no man can open it. And I'm the one that opens a door that no man can shut. Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe you're having trouble with your past, but God can supernaturally shut that door. And no man can open it. You can get over your past. But you got to learn to get it shut. You got to learn to go to God and let him shut that door and shut that pain and shut that sorrow and shut that hurt out. If you're going to go forward, you can't leave that door open. Because it'll always grab you. It'll always get you. Be that weight, that sin that easily besets you. It'll hold you back from going forward. You got to forget the past. Everybody say, go forward. So he encouraged himself in the Lord, 7th verse. And David said to Abiathar the priest of Ahimelech's son, I pray you bring hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail you shall recover all. You think your life's over. You think you're doomed to repeat this the rest of your life. That's the lie that the devil wants you to buy. That whatever pain you've gone through, whatever loss you've experienced, is something you're going to have to suffer with all your life. That's a lie. Don't you buy that lie. Don't you listen to that lie. The truth is there's something better down the road, all right? The truth is God can turn the whole thing around if you'll come to him and call on him. The truth is you can shut that door. The truth is you can pursue that future that you seem to have missed out on, and you can recover it, hallelujah. And you can recover what's lost. That's the truth of it. But you got to let go of the past, amen? Genesis 41, turn there. That's a perfect example. I don't have time to get into it, but if you follow along, David did recover all. He not only got his wives back and his children back and all his goods back, but they actually got all the goods that the Amalekite had gotten from all the other cities back. And they spent days distributing the goods to all the other people. So not only did they recover what was lost, they got more than they had to start with. Woohoo! I believe that can be the way of your life. You know, Proverbs says if a thief be found, he must restore sevenfold. I think if you find out who the real thief is, the devil, the things he stole in your life, that if you'll get with God and encourage yourself in the Lord and go forward and shut that door, you'll not only get back what you lost, but you'll get more. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all sound real excited about that. Glory. Turn to Genesis 41. Oh, I love this. I mentioned Joseph. Of course, Joseph went through a tough time with his brothers when he was 17. And then he went into slavery, and then he was lied about by the wife of his boss, and he was thrown in jail, and then he was stuck in jail for a while, and then he becomes the right-hand man of Pharaoh. He goes from the prison to the palace overnight. Then they go through the 7 years of plenty, you know the story, 7 years of famine. 2 years into the famine, his brothers come back, and that whole thing is restored. So it's an amazing story of restoration and forgiveness. But I always thought this was significant. Genesis 41 verse 50. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, bare unto him. So he married while he was in Egypt, and he had two children. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn son Manasseh, which means forgetting. For God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. One translation says, all the pain of my past, all the hurt of my past. And he named the second son Ephraim, which means fruitful. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now let me submit this to you. Until you have a Manasseh, you're not going to have an Ephraim. Are you out there? Until you learn to forget the past, you're not going to have a fruitful future. You got to get over the pitiful past into a fruitful future. Just like Paul said, you got to forget those things that are behind. Listen, I can go over stuff in my past. I could go over people in my past. I could go over and over and over, blame everybody and their dog, and just talk about woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. You know, but then the bottom line is, what am I going to do about it? I can even have a bad church experience. And then if I do have enough sense to go to another church, what I need to ask myself is, what am I going to do about this? Maybe you had a bad experience in your family. What are you going to do about it? Well, you do better. I just determined I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do that. I just determined whatever they did to me, I'm not going to do to somebody else. Because if you don't let it go, you will do it to somebody else. You'll wind up doing the same dumb thing that they did to you. Because you're still hurting and you hadn't got over it. And you're discouraged and you're dismayed and you're touchy. You know, and you'll wind up doing the very same thing somebody did to you. And you'll become just like them. You know, St. Augustine, way back in the 450 AD, something like that. He said, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. Because you'll take on that sin, and then that sin will change you. It'll ruin you. That hurt and that pain, if you don't let it go, not good. Are you with me? Hey, let me tell you this little testimony here I thought was pretty good. Does that help anybody? Got to have a Manasseh if you're going to have an Ephraim. You're going to have to forget your past if you're going to have a fruitful future. And I believe God wants us to have a future, fruitful future. I don't even know how many times you prayed and hadn't got what you prayed for. You need to quit thinking that every stove is a hot stove, okay? You need to get back in your faith and start praying and believing God again. Don't know what happened. Maybe you missed it. Maybe something else happened, but God didn't lie. He told the truth, amen? God's still good. Maybe some bad things happened to you and you were doing the right thing. Well, hey, welcome to the club. We're in a broken world. There's bad people out here. There's things that happen in this life. We're not in heaven, but get back up on your feet and let's do something about it, amen? Let's go for it. I read this and I thought it was really interesting. Tony Wainwright, who's an advertising director of several public companies, Fortune 500 company, his daughter was born with spina bifida and died within a year. And he said, I got down on my knees and I remembered thinking there are only two ways to go. I'm either going to pull myself together or I'm not. And he said, I pulled myself together. The good news is that from that adversity, two things happen. He wasn't blaming God for it, and he wasn't saying God did that. And I believe God's a healer. I don't believe God's behind pain. But I know we suffer it, and I know people die, and people get sick, and you've all experienced it. I understand that. But God's not bad. God's good, okay? God's not behind those things. God doesn't like it any more than you do. You say, why didn't he do something about it? Well, he has in Jesus, he has. And one day he's going to come back and change everything, and nobody will ever die again, and no one will ever get sick again. There are no funeral homes in heaven. There are no hospitals in heaven. So God's perfect world is not this world, okay? This world's messed up. You just need to get up and get out about it and figure that out. We do the best we can. We pray, we believe, we try to help and rescue people as best we can, but still we're not in heaven. Are you with me? But God's good. All the time, God's good. And he doesn't do the bad things. Okay. But anyway, he said, I decided to pull myself together. The good news is that from that adversity, two things happened. I worked harder than ever before to become successful. Second, which is more important, I never forgot what happened to me, but I turned my life around, and from that moment on, I dedicated a portion of it to helping other people, doing things I never would have thought of had I not gone through that adversity myself. So he turned that adversity to an advantage. Are you with me? He decided to go forward to pick himself up. And he says, I've had a lot of adversity in my life. For me, there are three components that help me get through it. One is prayer. Obviously, we know that. It's private and it's important. Another is the absolute belief that tomorrow will be better than today. And the third, though it may sound like a cliche, is that I don't take things personally. If something happens to me, instead of belaboring it or worrying about it, I figure out a way to overcome it. Or else I move on and come back to it later. That's probably the most salient advice that I can give to anyone. Don't dwell on things. And don't give up. And don't feel sorry for yourself when something happens. It happens to everyone. And it happens more than once. The ultimate winners are the ones that just never give up. Amen?